There's my mic off.
Right. So I heard about this guy that got hit by a Mack truck. He's in the hospital in ICU. A friend of his came in and visited him and said, man, you doing all right? Are you going to make it? And he goes, oh, he said, it's the most pain I've ever been in. But you know, my wife, she's just a saint. She comes in here 3 times a day, sits by my bed and reads to me. He said, man, that's pretty good. What's she reading? It's my life insurance policy. Okay, anyway, we don't care. All right. Genesis chapter 21. Tonight we are studying another one of the awesome names of God, El Olam, the eternal God. Before we even actually start reading through this passage, starting in Genesis chapter 21 in just a moment, I want to tell you something that helped me a little bit many years ago with trying to wrap my mind around the fact that God's always been. As a little kid, I used to think, well, I realize He's always been, but there had to be a point where He started. You know, that there had to be, yes, a start. There has to be a starting point for everything. You know, as a kid, you just don't really grasp things that are much higher than you are. So I was in a class one time, and I heard this man that was teaching this class give this illustration. And he said, you know what? Have you ever seen one of those little balls that you can put a hamster in, and they get inside that ball, and they just run around, and that ball goes all over the house and everything, but inside that ball, and that's all they know. They're inside the ball. And they don't even realize that there's stuff all around them. He says, you know what God did is He always has been, always will be, decided that He would create. And when He decided that He would create, He created a ball. And everything that He wanted to create is inside that ball, including time. Time is inside this ball. Does that affect Him? No. Doesn't affect Him at all. But inside that ball, there's a starting point, and inside that ball, there'll be an ending point, and time will be no more, the Scripture says. The reason time will be no more is because this ball will not be there anymore. Everything will be gone that we know of, and everything will be made new. Everything, including time. And so, the absence of time is where He lives, has always lived, and will always live. He is eternal God. And for people to realize that, even back in the day, in the first few hundred years, for them to realize that, they had to understand something about God that would make them know that. And that's what we're going to look at tonight in Genesis chapter 21. And I want to begin reading in verse 22. At that time, Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his forces, said to Abraham, God is with you in everything you do. Now swear to me here before God that you will not deal falsely with me or my children or my descendants. Show to me and the country where you are living as an alien the same kindness that I have shown to you. And Abraham said, I swear it. Then Abraham complained to Abimelech about the well of water that Abimelech's servants had seized. But Abimelech said, I don't know who's done this. You did not tell me, and I heard about it only today. So Abraham brought sheep and cattle, gave them to Abimelech, and the two men made a tree. And Abraham set apart 7 ewe lambs from the flock. And Abimelech asked Abraham, what is the meaning of these 7 ewe lambs that you have set apart by themselves? And he replied, accept these 7 lambs from my hand as a witness that I dug this well. So that place was called Beersheba because the two men swore an oath there. And after the treaty had been made at Beersheba, Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his forces, returned to the land of the Philistines. And Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba. And there he called upon the name of the Lord, the eternal God, El Olam. And Abraham stayed in the land of the Philistines for a long time. El Olam is just an amazing name when you stop and think about what it's actually saying. You know, we get it as far as, I mean, we can't really understand how eternity works. We can't really understand. You know, I had an old gentleman came one time to our church to preach, and he was talking about eternity. He says, when you die and you go to heaven, you'll be there forever and ever and ever. Eternity is so long, there's no way you can measure it. But we like to try to think of how long is eternity, you know? He said, well, let me just tell you something. He says, there's a mountain that's bigger than Mount Everest, and it's made out of solid granite. And once every 100 million years, an eagle flies by over the top of it. And when he flies by over the top of it, he barely scrapes the top with the bottom of his wing. He says, the time it takes that eagle to wear that mountain all the way down to the ground is the first day of eternity. I mean, I'm going like, wow. You know, I got to put that into perspective. See, but that's all we really know from human perspective is everything is about time. Everything is about a day. Everything is about an hour. Everything is about minutes. Everything, you know, I got to be at work at this time. I got to do this at this time. I got to be there at that time. And it's time, time, time. It's all about time. And one of the things that I believe God wants us to understand is that He created time for a purpose and a reason. And there is a time, the scripture says, for sowing, and there's a time for reaping, and there's a time for dying, and there's a time for living, and there's a time for joy, and there's a time for sorrow. And it goes on and on and on. It talks about time. But the issue is realizing that there is someone that is above time, who created time and is not affected by time. And that is El Olam. He is the eternal God. He's always been. He always will be. There was never a beginning, and there'll never be an end. Whew. Man, I like to listen to that. That's what I need to hear always. You know, there's never going to be an end. God, who is eternal, He is the everlasting one. This word Olam is used more than 400 times in Scripture. Now, it's not used with His name 400 times, but the word Olam is used over 400 times, and is translated as eternal, everlasting, forever. In other words, there is no end. There is no end. When it's used with the name of God, it ultimately means the God with no end. And to think about that is to remind ourselves that, you know, yeah, I'm going to live a while. I don't know how long. This might be my last day. I don't know. But if I happen to live a few more years, you know, I live a few more years. But my physical life on this earth will come to an end. It will. I'm hoping for the rapture, but you know, and I don't fear death. I don't like the thought of the pain going through it, but I don't fear death because I know where I'm going. And He's already preparing a place for me, and I look forward to that day with being with Him in His presence forever. Forever. And somebody once said, isn't that going to get kind of boring every day? That's all you do all day long is praise God. And I say, what day? There's no time. The time shall be no more. I'm finally going to see God like He really is. And when I do, that's all that's going to matter. I get a kick out of people going like, oh, I think heaven's going to be like some of the guys I'm around during the day. Heaven's going to be a big golf course, and we're just going to get to play golf all day long. Or you hear people, you know, thinking, you know, it's going to be this or that or this or that. And the only problem with that, I mean, it could be anything God created it to be, no doubt. But God's not creating things for us to to enjoy, to do, to make, to, you know, to keep us, you know, entertained and feel good. And here's why. Heaven is not going to be about self any longer. It's not going to be about self. I am not going to be up there going like, oh, Lord, what do I get to do today? I want to do this. No, I'm going to be in His presence. And that changes everything. It's all about Him. And I'm going to be there forever. There's never going to be an end to it. It's going to be an amazing, amazing, amazing experience for all of us as we sit in the presence of God and worship Him and praise His name and lift Him up and exalt Him, because it's all about Him. God who is eternal, the everlasting one. Secondly, the word Olam depicts something even more special. Not only is God Himself not contained by time, but He's also not contained by anything else. You see, there is no boundary to God. Nothing can contain Him. You remember David saying, you know, if I went to the highest mountain, You'd be there. If I went into the depths of the sea, You'd be there. Anywhere I go, You'll be there. Why? Because there is no boundary for God. We like to make boundaries. We like to hold things in our hand. We like to be able to control and say, this is my territory and this is my property and this is my car, and you can, you know, we like to have boundaries. But there are no boundaries for God. Not only is He not contained, neither are His characteristics. Because every characteristic of God in His names has no end. It has no end. There is no end to His peace, Jehovah Shalom. There is no end to Him being our shepherd, Jehovah Rohi. There is no end to His healing, Jehovah Rophe. There is no end to anything about Him. There's nothing that is contained, and there's nothing about His characteristics that are contained. They will continue on and on and on forever. Can you think of some things about Him that have no end? What? His love has no end. His forgiveness has no end. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. I love this passage. Because of the Lord's great love, we're not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. His steadfast love has no end. No end. His mercies towards us have no end. His faithfulness towards us has no end. You know, I know, and you probably have known people who you thought you could count on, and then they let you down, right? Because we all do that too. We let people down. You know? God will never let us down. He is faithful, 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 and you can't quit saying it, because He'll always be faithful. Always. And His love for us will never end. And that's why, I mean, just think about this. If that is a characteristic of God, which it is, why in the world would people say that He would not love somebody enough to die on the cross for them? It doesn't, it's not true. It's not true. Psalm 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. His forgiveness never ends. There is not anything that we could do that He can't forgive, except not accepting Him. He wants to forgive us. Isaiah 46, 4. Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am He. I am He who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you. It doesn't say maybe, probably, we'll look and see. It says, I will. I will, I will, I will. And you know what? I might tell you I will be there, and I might not be there. But when God says, I will, He will. He will do it. Isaiah 40, 28 and 29. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, El Olam, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary, and He increases the power of the weak. God will continue to strengthen His children. Continue to do that. Continue to do that and never end it. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7. Of the greatness of His government and peace, there will be what? No end. He will reign on David's throne and over His kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. See, the thing of it is we are so selfish and set on time that we have a hard time accepting those kind of words until it happens. But there will be a day, the scripture says, there will be a day when He comes. There will be a day when the trumpet sounds. There will be a day when Jesus comes and everyone will see Him and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That is going to happen. It's going to happen. And you can be a skeptic and say, that'll never happen until it happens. It's going to happen. God, who is eternal, He's the everlasting one. And the Word depicts the very meaning of what that is. Secondly tonight, God who gives eternal life. Not only is God eternal life, He's the giver of eternal life. You see, we couldn't have this eternal life without Him. We're not God. We're not all powerful. We're not all knowing. We couldn't do this. But He can. And He gives eternal life. He's the one who can, does. I like that. You know, if you can do it, do it. And He does it. Okay, John chapter 10, verses 28 through 30. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. I give them eternal life. Now, if God gives you eternal life, who's going to snatch that away from you? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. And the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, after you've suffered a little while, will Himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. And the word steadfast literally means never ending. 1 John chapter 2, verse 17. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. This world is going to pass away. You know, and there have been all kinds of people thinking, well, it's going to come down to an atomic war. You know what? It doesn't have to come to any kind of atomic war. God will just burn it up. It's going to be gone. And somehow we think it's going to be one of these long, drawn-out affairs where people are going to be, you know, walking around looking like zombies and all this. Now, I'm telling you, when God says it, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. In the blink of an eye. John chapter 3, verse 16. I wonder what this one is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have, what? Everlasting life. Oh, wait a minute. Whosoever? Anybody? Amen. Amen. He loved the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. You know, I'm fascinated when I read through passages in Scripture that show things like this. There was a really wise guy. His name was Nicodemus, part of the ruling council. In this very passage before that, who comes to Jesus at night, the Scripture says, because he didn't want anybody to see him. And he starts asking Jesus about this eternal life. And Jesus says, Nicodemus, look at the wind. Can you see it? How do you know it's really there? You see the results of it. In the same way, we can't see things that are eternal, but they're there. They are there. But someday, Paul says, right now I'm looking through a glass dimly, but one day I'll be able to see face to face. I'll be able to understand. I'll be able to comprehend it totally. The one who can does. He is steadfastly in eternal. Psalm 33:11. All these passages, I just love them. But the plans of the Lord stand firm for a while. Oh, no, it doesn't say that. I just want to see if y'all paying attention. Forever. The purposes of his heart through all generations. That means all. All is all. Yeah. It's not a fabric softener. It's all. Okay? All right. John chapter 6, verse 40. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. And I will raise them up at the last day. There's going to be a last day, by the way. And after that's eternity. No more night. I'm getting... I might just burst out and start preaching in a minute. All right. Psalm chapter 100, verses 4 and 5. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good, and his love endures, what? Forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is, who was, who is to come, from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, he has made us to be a kingdom and a priest to serve his God and Father. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he's coming in the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all people on the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and was and who is to come, the Almighty. Man, it gives me chill bumps just reading that. Folks, I'm telling you, we serve an amazing God. I mean, he's amazing. And by the way, since God is eternal, so is his word. Psalm 145, verse 13. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all his promises, all he promises, and faithful in all that he does. Everything that God says will not pass away. It won't. Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Why? Because he's El Olam, the eternal God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 18 in the Beatitudes, it says this, "For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter nor the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished." You see, what God says, he will do. And if people would see God in this perspective, I mean, somehow God has, I mean, the world has painted God into a box that's somewhere off up in the universe somewhere, and he's living in this box, and it's a place called heaven, and he really doesn't have a whole lot to do with us anymore. I mean, he did send a guy down here, and they put him on a cross, but I mean, it was just, you know, that's kind of where people keep him, in a box. But he's not in a box. He's everywhere, all the time, throughout time and beyond time. And his words will never fail. Never. He's awesome. Eternal God. Father, I thank you that you will never, ever, 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 ever cease being